Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit, as I said. The counseling is free and judgment free. The population of single Canadians is growing pretty fast. And there are lots of similarities to life as a single, lots of differences too. Many differences when it comes to getting a handle on your money. If you're single, you don't have that partner to provide input when it comes to managing your finances. You also don't have to ask for permission or a big conversation if there's something that you want to splurge on. But we're going to get into this topic of money and singles with the author of a new book. Julie Shipley Strickland is a senior investment advisor at Wellington Altus. She is the co-author of The Canadian's Guide to Personal Finance for Singles. She is based in Calgary, Alberta. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. Now, when you use this word single, it can refer to a lot of different life circumstances. How do you think about it in the context of the book?
Yeah. So when we were thinking about it for the context of the book, we really looked at three kind of broad categories. So one was divorced, two was bereaved, and then three was this category called chosen single. And so those are the three we really focused on and kind of had in the back of our minds when Brian and I were writing this book.
Now, in our pre-conversation, you told me you're actually married, happily married. Why did you decide?
So is Brian.
So is Brian, your co-author. Why did you decide to write a book with this particular focus?
You know, it's a growing segment of the population, just like you said, but there aren't many resources really targeted towards different ideas and different planning tips and tricks, information for this segment of the population to get the support they need. So that was one of the biggest reasons why, you know, we decided to target it.
What are some examples? If we were eavesdropping on the thoughts that that single person has or the conversations they have with themselves, what would be some things that they would be dealing with, complaining about, challenged by?
Yeah, and a great question. I think first and foremost, you targeted one very good point, is that they don't have to have any discussions, but they also don't get to have any discussions with a partner or someone to bounce ideas off of. So I think that's one area when, you know, you think about this segment of the market, that's an area where I think a lot of them struggle for sure. It's hard, right? You're always in your own mind when you're making these decisions. Sure, you can bounce them off friends, colleagues, maybe some family, that sort of thing, but it's a different scenario. On the flip side, if you want to do something, whatever you want to do, it's your own decision. So I think those, that dynamic and how that plays out in someone's mind and in their decision-making process was definitely at the forefront when we were writing this book. The last one I wanted to touch on is always any sort of planning down the road. So any sort of tax planning, any sort of, you know, anything to do with planning for retirement, that sort of thing. It's very reliant on themselves. So I think we touch on that in different areas of the book because that seemed to be a big concern that we kept hearing about too.
I'm glad you put it into three separate categories of singles, because I can imagine the challenges are quite different for someone who's chosen to be single. They may have, that may be their entire life, they're in that circumstance. Yes. For someone who's bereaved, they could have been married for decades and then be surprised to be in this circumstance. And for someone who's gone through a divorce, there's just a whole bunch of other financial and emotional complications. I want to ask you about that first category of the chosen single. Did you put that out to those readers to say, what are we missing here? Did we accurately capture what you're really dealing with?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't think we polled anyone specifically. We did a lot of research. We did a lot of, you know, asking in our own networks and that sort of thing. I wouldn't say we, you know, polled any reader in our book or anything like that. I think what it was a lot of the research came in, had already all the evidence there of what this segment was kind of going through and where they needed support. And so that was one of the big areas, because it's actually one of the most rapidly growing segments of the population is people who have chosen to either identify as single and or reside as single and or that sort of thing. They're making their own independent financial decisions. That was kind of the definition we went by when we were thinking this through.
I was talking to a single person and she said, listen, I have finally had this insight, and she was in her mid-30s, that I have no one to rely on. If I don't figure this out, no one is going to take care of it for me.
Exactly. And on one hand, like you expressed, there's a freedom with that. I get to do what I'd like to do. That's fantastic. But on the other hand, there is no one to fall back on or to rely on. So it's imperative that they have the resources, the support, the network to be able to get the information they need and to be able to make educated decisions.
What are some of the nuances that you would need to apply as an investment advisor looking at some of the retirement calculations? I mean, I guess some of it's just the math. The math is the math is the math. But yeah, there isn't that backstop or security of another person who could step up if there was an income shortfall or something.
Yeah, I think there's a few areas I touch on when I'm planning for someone that's chosen single or someone perhaps that is now divorced and or bereaved. You know, these three, really, they're relying on themselves going into retirement or in retirement. And so we definitely lean into a bit more cash. So we have a bit more, and I don't mean necessarily cash deposits. I mean, just liquid money that they can get access to, because you don't have that second person's pension or RIF or anything like that to be able to lean on. We need to have a bit more liquid assets available. So that's one area. Mm-hmm. Two, you know, some of my clients really like the idea of having, you know, some insurance in place. So insurance where there's some cash value, and that cash value is there. You know, we affectionately say if they live too long, you know, if they're running out of their traditional retirement assets, you know, they're 90, 95, 100, that sort of thing, they have this next access of a pool of cash to be able to rely on and live off of. And if they don't need that, the death benefit when they do pass on goes to family and friends and that sort of thing. So some of my single clients really, really appreciate that, because they've got kind of, you know, something if they're alive, and then something that passes nicely, you know, to family and loved ones if they should pass or when they pass, right? So that seems to be kind of two areas that my singles really lean into. Yeah.
You are a female, your co-author is a male. How did you factor in gender? Because I can imagine on the chosen single part, there are some real differences there.
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that. I think for me, and I can only speak for me on this, although I want to attempt to, because Brian's so open and just lovely. For me, it was really, you know, the statistics are showing that one, women outlive men. So you would have more traditionally in the bereaved category that say maybe have been widowed and lost their spouse. And then, you know, because women are living longer, you may have more planning on the female side. So Brian and I discussed that. And we really leaned into some of my knowledge and some of my experience there. And some of how I do tend to work with a lot of females, being female myself. And so I could really bring up real life concerns and experiences that I had and are currently having with some of my clientele. So that was definitely one area. And then I think Brian balanced that out well, you know, when I would say, okay, well, as a female, this is, you know, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I would lean into. He's like, okay, this is the male perspective that I'd like to show. So we really, you know, played off each other well. And I think there were, you know, look, Brian's become a great friend. He's absolutely wonderful. So I think we were able to play off each other's experiences, knowledge, and it worked really, really well. I think we were able to capture both sides.
You reference a chosen single. That chosen single may have kids. That chosen single may not have a kid. Let's look at that subgroup that doesn't. My mom has five kids. We're all around. We've all got tasks. We all engage with her in a very, very active way. I am coupled, but I only have one kid. So I can imagine that phase is different. How do you factor in the financial consequence for a chosen single who doesn't have a kid in terms of what care will look like? Because in all likelihood, they're going to have to pay out of pocket on the things that if you happen to have five kids, you don't have to pay for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think when we were looking at that area, you know, we were really looking at building up that reserve. What trusted friends, colleagues, siblings, even family members that, you know, I've got one client I'm thinking of, she's very close with her cousin who's about 5 years younger than her. So in her will and powers of attorney and that sort of thing, that cousin is going to speak for her. So, you know, there's other family relations or good friends, that sort of thing that can support that area for sure. And then I think it's just about really, you know, for them, it's very important to have their wishes outlined because there might be no one else that they've actually spoken to this about that can, you know, weigh in and give an opinion. Yeah. So that's definitely one area for sure. And then if we flip the other way, you know, when they pass away, who are they going to leave their funds and their estate and that sort of thing to? You know, some of my clients really like the idea of supporting charities. And so there's a lot of charitable giving that's being set up, something they're passionate about, something they had the opportunity to volunteer in while they were alive, that sort of thing that they're really excited about. And so in terms of passing wealth on, I'm seeing a lot of exposure to charitable, you know, causes, and which is fantastic. And then often there's some compensation for a family or friend member that's going to be supporting them through that, through the journey of passing and that sort of thing.
You write about unconventional housing arrangements, and I love them. I mean, we talk about this on the show. It's particularly relevant for people who are single because they don't have the inherent support of a partner. Tell us a bit about what you learned on that front and where we are headed, because I think there's a lot of work to be done in this country over the course of the next 20 or 30 or 40 years when I'm going to need a place to live that isn't where I currently live.
You know, there was a few ideas we came up with and that we researched and saw, but I think the most interesting was, you know, we had different words for it, but the description of it, I think, is the most articulate. Large home, several bedrooms in it, adjoining bathrooms renovated for that. And the people who are living in that home all either own it jointly or have some sort of arrangement of ownership over kind of their room. And then they share common space. And so, you know, an idea of a group home, but really for, let's say no one that's elderly or that sort of thing. They're active, they want to live, but they want that camaraderie, they want that community, and they don't want all the responsibilities of a home on one person. Right. So if there's five of them living in the home, maybe one is handling some of the cleaning, maybe one's handling some outdoor work, maybe one handles laundry, whatever their arrangement is. That one blew us away, I think, the most, because one, there's several being set up in different cities in Canada. So that was fascinating to us. And two, the report and the reactions to it were so positive and favorable. Mm-hmm. The instant community was probably the most talked about in our research that we found that we really loved. So yeah, I thought that was a very cool idea, something I hadn't thought of. It's like university all over again.
Yeah, yeah, minus the keg, or maybe including the keg.
Maybe including the keg.
Yeah, we need the keg.
It might have gone to nice bottles of wine, maybe some, we'll see, right? Yeah. There's lots of options there.
Let me ask you just one last question here. If you were to sum it all up, and I know the book's 192 pages, if you were to sum it all up into a single piece of advice for a human who is single, either always was or newly, what is the one thing that you would recommend they do or think about or prepare for when it comes to their money?
Read the book, and I'm going to put two ideas together. That's what I'm going to do on this one. Read the book and have an open mind. There's a lot of ideas that are in there that are very different and that we well researched. And I would say, like you said, at the beginning of becoming something new and how to operate. And I think it's really, really exciting.
Really interesting stuff. Julie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Julie Shipley Strickland is the co-author of The Canadian's Guide to Personal Finance for Singles.
Hi, it's me, your dad. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.